Before the creation of this cosmic manifestation, the Lord enlightened the heart of Lord Brahma with the details of creation and manifested the Vedic knowledge. In exactly the same way, the Lord, being anxious to revive the Vrindavan pastimes of Lord Krishna, impregnated the heart of Rupa Goswami with spiritual potency. By this potency, Srila Rupa Goswami could revive the activities of Krishna in Vrindavan, activities almost lost to memory. In this way, he spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world.
So this specific... Mahaprabhu had many intimate associates. But there was something very special about Rupa and Sanatan. Because while... So what are the... If you broadly classify Mahaprabhu's activities, you can put them in two sections. What is the first one? One was experiencing his own internal ecstasies with his intimate associates like Swarup Damodar, Ramanandaraya and so on. The second was his preaching mission. Now, up until this point, Mahaprabhu demonstrated only his internal pastimes. Of course, he did preaching, he went to South India and all that, but it was also a manifestation of his internal ecstasy. There was never a planned, organized approach that Mahaprabhu made in preaching efforts so far, up until this point in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Right? Now, this specific pastime that we are going to see now is a very strategic plan that Mahaprabhu is going to unfold about how to preach for the rest 10,000 years. He is going to give the seed of that plan in these three chapters or four chapters, Rupa Sanatan Siksha. So that is why, among all the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why Rupa and Sanatan are put on the highest pedestal is because, you know, there is Janma Karmacha Me Divyam. So there is Janma and Karma of the Lord. Which is more important? Karma. Why? Activities of the Lord. Yeah, but why activities of the Lord are important? I thought birth of the Lord is important. Somehow, the angle today, I can't see you properly. I'll have to move back. No, no, sit there. Yeah. Why karma is more important than Janma? Because karma is what is going to deliver us. Yeah, Lord's main karma is to deliver us. His janma is for his own ecstasies. Right? But our hope is his karma. If we know about his karma and if he's doing his karma well, then we have some hope in our deliverance. So more than the Lord's janma, we should take greater shelter of his karma. So Mahaprabhu's his Adilila and, you know, and of course his Antyalila are all about his internal ecstasies. How he enjoyed Sankirtan, he launched a Sankirtan movement. He was enjoying Sankirtan with his intimate associates and so on. Right? And Antyalila is about his own private circle, how he was relishing the Antaranga Bhav of Radharani. But the Madhya Leela is so special because it's talking all about Mahaprabhu's preaching movement. And this is the first time Mahaprabhu has organized an institutionalized, of course not fully, but at least somewhere along those lines, an institutionalized kind of a preaching setup, preaching effort. So because he's making a long-term strategic vision, strategic planning committee. This is the strategic planning committee of the first SPC meeting of ISKCON. So, yeah, I'm just wondering why I'm feeling so null and void today. Thank you. Now you have empowered me. Jai. So, this is Narayana's garland. So, this particular, that is why the every time devotees would go, later on in the chapter also we will read this. Every time anybody would go to Vrindavan, Mahaprabhu would ask, so, and other associates would also be interested. So, what are Rupa and Sanatan doing now? Because that's like the exciting, the happening news in the world of Vaishnavas that time. Rupa and Sanatan are going to start a preaching mission, a worldwide preaching mission, or at least the seed for a worldwide preaching mission. Until then, who was writing books about future preaching? Who was establishing temples for future generations to come? Nothing. Until then, the only thing that was happening was enjoy Kirtan with Mahaprabhu. That's all. Mahaprabhu is there with us. Let us enjoy whatever time we get of him. But when Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan, he started the original GEV project there through Rupa and Sanatan. The first revival, first Vrindavan construction project. So everybody was excited. What are they doing? So anytime any visit, devotees would go there, they would ask, "Kya ho raha? What are the latest developments in GEV now?" Right? So like that, they would ask. So that's why this is a very, very special pastime. And we can see how Mahaprabhu, in just by giving this one bija to Rupa Goswami, he has given a whole lifetime's project to the Rupanugas, all of us, like that. Jaya Jaya Sri Taitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda.
All glories to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Lord Nityananda, all glories to Advaita Chandra, and all glories to all the devotees of the Lord.
Shri Rupa Sanatana Rahe Ram Keli Grame Prabhura Miliya Gela Apana Bhavane.
After meeting Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the village of Ramakeli, the brothers Rupa and Sanatan returned to their homes.
Dui Bhai Vishaya Tyagera Rupaya Shri Jila Bahudhana Diya Dui Brahmane Varila.
The two brothers devised a means whereby they could give up their material activities. For this purpose, they appointed two brahmanas and paid them a large amount of money.
Krishna Mantre Karila Dui Purascharana Achirat Paibare Chaitanya Charana.
The brahmanas performed religious ceremonies and chanted the holy name of Krishna, so that the two brothers might attain shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very soon.
So this Purascharana is an important term. We read it already, right? So what does Purascharana mean? What do we do with initiation? Yeah, so the internal purification that a sadhaka has to go through before getting initiated. So in that purport, Prabhupada writes that how we observe our disciples for at least minimum 6 months to 1 year. And you have to go through all this. You have to follow the four regulative principles. The spiritual master must know the disciple. And likewise, the disciple should also know the spiritual master. And when all of this happens, then they are. It's not that anybody just comes and asks for initiation, you give initiation. So this Purascharana is an important part. And this was there in the Vedic culture before any mantra charan. Not just initiation or any mantra charan, before you start, you go through some purificatory rituals that will sometimes it nullifies your past karmic effects, because etamshu antakatam papam jananam punya karmana. So you need to shift delete some of your old backlogs in your karmic bank balance. So that is done through this Purascharana rituals. Of course, in our case, following the four regulative principles consistently, dedicated hearing and chanting is the greatest Purascharana. So after going through this for sufficiently long time, then or a satisfactorily long time, then he is, such a person is qualified for initiation. Yes, Prabhu.
In the just previous verse, it came that they have paid Brahmanas large money, and it many times came like during Madhyandapuri, they appointed 4 Brahmana for Chandan. They also paid salary. So Brahmana also paid salaries and so many things.
Yeah, so previously all temple management was done by Brahmanas, paid Brahmanas. Because as a grihastha, that particular Brahmana had to be maintained. So they were given some salary as an endowment. Okay, here. But the idea was they would live extremely simple. Usually when you think of salary, doesn't mean he's drawing a 100k salary or something like that. But so in all, even today, if you go to any traditional South Indian temple, you will see how there is temple and there would be a lane in front of the temple where on either side of the lane, there used to be Brahmanas only. That was just, every temple town had what is called as Brahmana street. And they were the ones who were the caretakers of the seva of the Lord. That was even like, you know, South India, Kanchipuram, you still see that every temples, Tirupati also, especially in the Sri Vaishnava temples, you'll see that way. Entire Udupi's city is made on that concept. So because they could be uninterrupted seva and puja of the Lord, they would be there. And in order to maintain that, the king would give them either a salary or some land. So they would hire a farmer or something and through exchange, barter system. So you come and work free in my land, and at the end of the harvest, you can take some grains and you give me the remaining grains, which I will use in Lord's service. So temple would have a lot of land also. And later on what happened, under the Land Ceiling Act and the Endowments Act of 1951, I think, 51 of those. So all the land of temples was taken over by the government. So none of these Brahmanas had any of the land under them. So then they became IT software engineers. And they have gone to America now. So that is the background. So they are actually earning salary. So that is the situation. But yeah, so the Brahmanas were paid. Yeah. And if you remember, Rupa and Sanatan were in a Kshatriya class that time. So the Kshatriyas would pay the Brahmanas. Okay. Shri Rupa Gosai Tabe Naukate Bhariya. Apanara Ghare Aila Bahudhana Laya.
At this time, Sri Rupa Goswami returned home, taking with him large quantities of riches loaded in boats.
Then, Brahmana Vaishnava Dila Tare Ardhadhane Eka Chauti Dhana Dila Kutumba Bharane.
Srila Rupa Goswami divided the wealth that he brought back home. He gave 50% in charity to Brahmanas and Vaishnavas and 25% to his relatives.
Right, so this is a very practical way of dividing, he's saying. And then, so the idea was 25% may be given to family, but 25% kept for personal use in case of emergency. Now, this is the same person who wrote Anya Ablashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavritam. Right? So, actually you can understand, this is how practical our teachings are. Many times we see our Gaudiya Vaishnava literature and we think, oh, this is too much on selfless devotional service. But look, actually this is a very, if you see the conduct, the personal conduct of either Srila Prabhupada or any of our acharyas, they have dealt with the material world in a very practical way. Right? Therefore, we have a very practical philosophy, how to live a life. Not just how to just give up your life, but how to be in the world, integrate with the world and live in a proper way, but at the same time, how to remain aloof from it. So, you can see Rupa Goswami is setting the right example. So, this theme, I remember once when we were doing this Artha conference here. So, His Grace Srinaji Prabhu, Prabhuji is very, he's a very forceful speaker. When he speaks, the public has to accept it, you know, they will get convinced into. So, he just, the first statement he began his talk by saying, you know, the standard of what ideal business is given. Rupa Goswami says, 50% you should donate your money for charitable activities to Brahmanas and to worthy people. He didn't use Brahmana and Vaishnava. But he said 50% you should donate your salary. Right? Now that's such a big jolt for the audience there. And 25% relatives and 25% keep an emergency. You know, but 50% to give up your hard-earned money is a big thing. But it's, you know. So, actually, that is renunciation. Many times we've heard, as well as Radhanath Swami Maharaj also in his talks, glorifying these great personalities, that how actually renunciation, it's easy to be renounced if you have nothing. But very difficult to be renounced if you have a lot of things. So, what will your consciousness be when you get a lot of things? So right now, what do you have, Amal? You have one locker, that's all. And a laptop. That was, I think, temple gave you. No, personal. Yeah, that's okay. So then, but when you have, that's practically considered nothing by today's standard. Right? So it's easy to be renounced. But once you have everything, or at least something worthwhile, that's a test of one's renunciation. So then, Mike, please. So next batch, we should buy a cordless connector. You know, there's a little wireless one.
So keeping 25% for the self is shastric then. If someone is planning to renounce, then he can keep 25% in his account that way.
Yes, it's bona fide. Just that you should also know how to use the 25%. Not keep buying gadgets all the time. Or whatever. Not keep buying things which you don't need. But the idea was that use it for emergencies. That's why, see, everything is so clear. Purpose is very clear. Use it, 25% may be kept for personal use in case of emergency. Read the full sentence. Don't bend the truth.
The last gold coin was also...
Sanatan Goswami gave even the last gold coin that he had. Yeah, but still apparently Rupa Goswami was more practical. So he gave, he still did have. But after going to Vrindavan, did they still have that money? Did they use it in construction of Radha Govindji temple? None of those details have been given. I don't think they ever had anything. They just donated. But at what point they donated, whom they donated, it's not clearly mentioned.
Emergency money to
Sanatan, get him released. He gives him 10,000 gold coins only. Rupa Goswami has boat loads full of gold. So 1/4 of his is, any one of us would be happy with that. So, like that. Anyway. So it's look who the next verse was this. Danda bhanda lagi chauti sanchaya karila. Bhala bhala viprasthane sthapaya rakhila.
He kept 1/4 of his wealth with the respectable brahmanas. He kept this for his personal safety because he was expecting some legal complications.
So bhala bhala brahmana. So even if you are keeping the money, he didn't keep it in his own account. He kept it with somebody else. Why with somebody else? At least, you know, if it's with somebody else, you will feel shy to ask them, no? It's like an external Paramatma manifesting. So at least if it's with you, anytime you can use it. If it's in your bank account, you can use it anytime. But at least he gave it to others. So that also you should note. Okay? How much you have, Prabhu, in your account? We are all interested now. We will discuss later after the class. Yeah. We want boat. Even with one box also we are happy. Ek peti. Then, Gaude Rakhila Mudra Dasha Hazare. Sanatana Vyaya Kare Rakhe Mudakare. Sanatana Vyaya Kare Rakhe Mudigare.
He deposited 10,000 coins, which were later spent by Sri Sanatan Goswami in the custody of a local Bengali grocer.
See, he actually could foresee that Sanatan is going to fall into trouble, and he actually pehle se wo deposit karke gaya, because later on, once he comes to Vrindavan, once they're on their way, he could not do all these transactions. He could not just, today, you know, or Paytm, you can just transfer from here to there. But he didn't have all those facilities back then. So, pehle se dekho kya planning karke rakha hai. Shri Rupa Sunila Prabhura Niladri Gamana Vanapathe Yabena Prabhu Shri Vrindavana.
Shri Rupa Goswami heard that Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had returned to Jagannath Puri and was preparing to go to Vrindavan through the forest.
Then Shri Rupa Goswami sent two people to Jagannath Puri to find out when Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would depart for Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami told the two men, you are to return quickly and let me know when he will depart. Then I shall make the proper arrangements. Then, while all this was happening, Eta Sanatana Goswami Bhave Manamana Raja More Priti Kare Semora Bandhana.
While Sanatana Goswami was in Gaudadesh, he was thinking, the Nawab is very pleased with me. I certainly have an obligation.
So when you serve the wicked masters of this world, you will be entrapped with unnecessary obligations. Right? So Sanatana Goswami was so expert in his prime ministership that, you know, later on we will see that Nawab literally thought like he was his younger brother. In fact, he always said, do you want to displease your elder brother? You know, that is how intimate, you know, imagine Hitler saying something like, you are so intimately close to Hitler. That is unheard of. But that is how well behaved and how expert Sanatan was, that a Hitler like, you know, our, I think in this chapter only, where the full name of our Nawab Hussain Shah comes. What is the full name of Nawab Hussain Shah? Who knows? So hold on, it will come soon. Then, if the Nawab somehow or the other becomes angry with me, I shall be greatly relieved. That is my conclusion. So he came up with a plan. Somehow to make Nawab angry with me. Then what did he do? On the pretext of bad health, Sanatana Goswami remained at home. Thus he gave up government service and did not go to the royal court. But then what happened? Lobhi kayastagana raja karyakare. Apane swagrihe kare shastrera vichare.
The greedy masters of his clerical and secretarial staff performed the government duties while Sanatan personally remained home and discussed the revealed scriptures.
So who are these kayastas? Kayastas are those who are not in the varnashram dharma, not that they are beyond Shudra like the Chandalas and Malechas and Yavanas. They were highly elevated people, but somehow they ended up serving the non-Vedic people, like Muslims for example, and they have lost position in their own community. So they ended up being called as Kayasthas. So this Lobhi Kayastha Gana Raja Karya Kare Apana Swagrahe Kare Shastra Vichare. So while our Sanatan was remaining at home, because you know Sanatan was like the most sought after person, and everybody was eyeing for his post. That is the nature of the material world. Everybody wants promotion. And when Sanatan started becoming little disconnected from his work, all these people were ready to pounce on his post. That is the nature of the greedy society. Right? Like Prabhupada would often give the example. Like a bunch of crows. What do a company of crows do? If one crow dies or is about to die, other crows, they come, they kill it. They are ready to eat the flesh of that crow. That is the nature of the Asat Sangha outside. So, the idea is this lobhi, that the lobha, greed is like that. It's a very beautiful, one of my favorite sentences of Srila Prabhupada, or like narrations of Srila Prabhupada, which comes in the episode of our Jadabharat episode. in that exact paragraph where when Jadabharati avoids walking on the ants and then the palanquin starts rocking. So then immediately as soon as the king says, hey, what's happening? So all the three other palanquin bearers, they point towards him. Sir, master, we got a new man here. He's responsible. And in that purport, Prabhupada writes a beautiful paragraph. He compares the the mindset of worldly people and a mindset of a Vaishnav. A Vaishnav like Raghugana, like Jadabharat, was ready to get his head cut to protect innocent creatures like ants. And the worldly minded people like the palanquin bearers were ready to save their head at the expense of cutting the head of an innocent person like Jadabharat. That is a difference between worldly mindedness and devotee. Worldly people and a devotee. Right? So, we should actually introspect. Many times when situations get tough, we are ready to shift the blame on others. And then in that purport, Prabhupada said, this is a Vaishnav. One who has his Vaishnav quality is a Vaishnav. So, are we being Vaishnavs? Are we, what is our mindset in these kind of tricky situations? Are we immediately ready to find faults with others? Or are we ready to act on the basis of a higher value or a higher as principle in life? So that is a big test. And that is, these are the moments which are, moments of truth, as they say. Your internal thing comes out in these moments of crisis. In the spur of the moment, you spontaneously try to find faults. I am not responsible, somebody else is responsible. Immediately try to foil faults with others. So that is the difference. So this is the same lobhi kayastha mentality that, we have to give up. And look how Sanatan's attitude was. Sanatan Goswami was feeling relaxed and feeling inclined to retire from government service like that. Bhattacharya Pandita Bishra Trishnala Aya Bhagavata Vichara Karena Sabhate Vishya Sabhata Vashya.
Sri Sanatan Goswami used to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam in an assembly of 20 or 30 learned Brahmana scholars.
So Prabhupada writes in this beautiful purport on this word, Bhagavata Vichara Karena Sabhate Vashya. So sitting in an assembly, he was doing Bhagavata Vichara. The importance of Bhagavata Vichara very nicely is highlighted. So it is described, that there are two kinds of educational systems. This is a very nice verse from Mundaka Upanishad. There are two kinds of education system. One deals with transcendental knowledge, paravidya, and the other deals with aparavidya. So all the Vedas, Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sam Veda, Athar Veda, along with the corollaries like Shiksha, Kalpa, Vyakarna, Nirukti, Chandas, Jyotisha, all of these belong to aparavidya. All the Vedas are what? Aparavidya. Inferior systems of knowledge. By paravidya, one can understand the akshara, the infallible absolute truth. So that is what we should be asked for. And that absolute truth is explained in the Vedanta Sutra, which has been commented upon as Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, this Bhagavat Vichar is so important. So there are different aspirations. Somebody is Mukti Kami, Artha Kami, Kama Kami. So all these people, their aspirations are these lower aspirations. But Bhagavat Vichari, he is beyond all this Dharma, Artha, Kama, even Moksha. Yes, bro. Traigunyo Vishaya Veda Nistraigunyo Bhavat Arjuna. So if Vedas are talking about the three modes of material nature, Krishna is asking us to reject it. It is the essence, it's not exactly literal meaning of the Vedas, but what is it that you should understand on the basis of the Vedas? It's slightly more deeper. It's not like a summary study of the Vedas. Vedanta Sutra is Vyasadeva's realizations based on the Vedas. Like that. Presented in a very systematical thesis form.
You said that Trigunya Vishwavidya, Vedas are three modes. But the personified, prayers of personified Veda, the first verse is how that three Vedas in the modes can describe the Brahman which is beyond the modes.
Mm.
It means they are describing about beyond modes also.
If you see like that, the Upanishads are also part of the Vedas. The Shweta Yajurveda section, middle of that comes the Ishopanishad, for example, which is talking about the Purusha who is beyond the three modes of material nature, right? But they are not the main subject matter of the Vedas, or at least externally they don't look like the main subject matter. Brahmaji, with all his intelligence, the most intelligent person, had to read three times to understand what is the essence of Vedas. So therefore, there is a lot of kachra in Vedas which you need to bypass. In that sense, this description is given. The Srimad Bhagavatam is Amalam Puranam, that is highlighted. Okay, the question is, Jiva Goswami also in the Sandarbhas, he first establishes how Bhagavatam is in line with the Vedas. So it seems like he is taking the reference of the Vedas. So the Vedic culture and etiquette is, or the scholastic approach is, you have to be in line with the Vedas. So the broad systems of philosophy, all systems of philosophy, they are classified into two types, Astika and Nastika. What is the difference I told last time? If you are in line with Vedas, you are Astika. If you are not in line with Vedas, you are Nastika. Doesn't matter whether you believe in God or not, but you have to be in line with the Vedas. Why? Because Vedas are direct practical manifestation of the absolute truth. So yes, but absolute truth, this is also absolute truth. But you have to go beyond the externals of the absolute truth and focus on the internal essence. So when our acharyas are trying to quote Vedic references, it is not that they are dependent exclusively on the entirety of Vedas, but they are quoting it because they want to show that we are compliant with the Vedas, but the secret essence of the Vedas is this principle which they are trying to highlight, the bhakti understanding. Yeah. So therefore, how Vedas are also talking about bhakti. So we are saying that we are not putting bhakti on an inferior position to Vedas. Like the example, another example which is given is the analogy of the moon and the tree. Sometimes you cannot see the moon because in your vision there is only the tree. You cannot look beyond. So right now if you look at the sun, you will say, where is the sun? Actually everything is illuminated because of the sun only. You cannot see the tree without the sun. But to show the source of our vision of the tree, I have to show you the tree. I'll show you. Can you see that branches there? Ah, yes, I can see the branches. So beyond that branches, there's one light. Yes, I see the light. Ah, that is called the sun. So is the sun dependent on the tree? It is not. But in our frame of reference, tree is my known truth. So I have to use the tree to show you the like that. Okay, let's move on. Aradina Gauda Dveshera Sange Kajana Gaudeshwaras Achambite Gosai Sthambite Kaila Agamana.
While Sanatan Goswami was studying Srimad Bhagavatam in the assembly of learned Brahmanas, one day the Nawab of Bengal and another person suddenly appeared.
The full name of Nawab of Bengal, Hussein Shah, was Allahuddina Saida Husseina Shah Sheripa Makka.
Jai.
Can you imagine chanting his name? Right? Usually you have that quote. There's a specific name for that also. The one who makes the announcement. Do you know his name? There's an English word for that. I forgot. Huh? Mullah is not something. The person who actually makes the announcement in the court when the king is entering. There's a specific term for that. So imagine him saying, aa rahe pada rahe hai Allahuddin Sayyada Husain Shah Sharifa Makkah, and everybody dum 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 dum, poi 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 poi, everybody stands up. right? So that, imagine that guy having to recite this whole name. So he ruled Bengal for only 23 years. And Sanatana Goswami studied Srimad Bhagavatam with the scholars in the year 1424. Oh wow, interesting, see? 1420 to 1443 he was ruling. So which means only first 4 years he got association of Sanatana and he won the heart so much so that he made him prime minister. Fastest rise in the corporate ladder ever. 3 years you have been made the CEO of your company. That is how efficient Sanatana was. Patshaha dekhiya sabe sambhrame uthila. Sambhrame asana diya rajaravasila.
As soon as all the Brahmanas and Sanatana Goswami saw the Nawab appear, they all stood up and respectfully gave him a sitting place to honor him.
This is a very important point. Many times whenever you hear seminars on culture of respect, this particular example is quoted. Because in the hierarchy of respect, you will see Sanatana Goswami, such an exalted Vaishnav, he actually, and the Brahmanas, who are in the social order higher than the Malecha king, they all stood up just because this king came. Were they standing because a Malecha person came? No. But they were standing because the king, Yadyad Vibhuti Matsatvam, Srimad Urjita Mevava. So, he is representing a potency of the Lord. The ruling potency of the Lord is manifested to our Allahuddina Sayyada Husayna Shaha Sheripa Makkah. So therefore, they were respecting that. This is the very subtle principle of culture of respect. So many times as devotees, even though Prabhupada is heavy against politicians and people of influence and scientists and all these people, there have also been many conversations and personal exchanges where Prabhupada respected these people a lot. Like remember that episode where that some UN representative was supposed to have come very earlier on in our movement. And Prabhupada put one young boy as guard and said, "You don't allow anybody to come, I'm going up to cook." Because Prabhupada personally cooked a feast to receive this person. And ironically what happened, that actual person when he came, he was driven away saying Prabhupada doesn't want to meet anyone. But Prabhupada personally could not know what need did Prabhupada have to cook personally for a simple government servant or some UN representative who didn't even follow the four relative principles. Why Prabhupada had to do that? Why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had to go cook meat in his ashram or arrange meat based diet in his ashram just because some British nobleman was coming, lord was coming? So we have to see, this is a culture of respect. So many times as devotees we think we are transcendental to politicians, we are transcendental to a businessman, right? And anybody associating with this is all maya. Like there is a lot of sludge being thrown on our ISKCON devotees online, especially our senior gurus and sannyasis, saying that look at them, they are all associating with all these worldly minded people. Like all these big celebrities, famous people, heads of nations, when we meet, we give them respect. But they are mudslinging, saying that, look at them. So they should all read this episode. Sanatana Goswami, our Sambandha Acharya, was standing before a Malecha king. So this is the example. So therefore, we are to respect them. Right? Even if when the richest Indian visits your temple, Hari Gopal Prabhu is transcendental to all worldly news. So therefore he is also just listening. Okay. You don't know? Well, the richest Indian visited Radha Gopinath temple yesterday. Mukesh Ambani, his wife and daughter, they visited because his daughter is getting married to Piramal's, Ajay Piramal's son. So it's been in the news since 2 days. So yesterday suddenly they manifested, and apparently 2 days their engagement or something like that. So, yeah.
Our scriptures have two extreme examples. One, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, you know, karmi, vishayi, is not even touching. And here is another example. And because sometimes thought comes, if we are following this renounced life, we should also live simple life, and you know. So it's always a tug of war. to what extent we can deal with worldly minded people and approach them, cultivate them, and how to follow Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example.
The idea is respect Krishna without getting distracted by Maya. This is the golden principle. Learn to respect Krishna without getting distracted by Maya. This is like the golden sutra for everything. Right? So, if not respecting Krishna and remaining free from distraction of Maya is what a jnani does. Only respecting Krishna and being careless about Maya is what a karmi does. Or those who are, in a sense, you know, I'm saying these are all pious people, okay? I'm not talking about vishayis and worldly minded people who are indulged in sense gratification. Those with genuinely proper spiritual intent, but they tend, because of lack of proper understanding or lack of maturity, this is how we tend to behave. We are over respecting Krishna, but in the process we are careless about Maya. Then you are being like a karmi. If you are overindulging in, if you are respecting Krishna so much, you are not respecting Krishna, but you are indulging in protecting yourself from Maya a lot. I will only be in a sheltered environment. I will not go do anything. I will not respect people, whatever. I will not indulge with people. That is what a jnani does. The first one will lead you, will make your heart, will make your heart over attached. The second approach will make your heart too hard. So attached hearted and weak hearted and hard hearted. We don't want both. We want soft hearted. So it is difficult. So weak heartedness and hard heartedness, both are difficult. Now you may think, then Prabhu, we are told to stay away from all these things. Better to err on the side of hard heartedness. But you will be, initially you will be protected, but later on you will regret a lot. You will have to undo a lot of things. Not regret, but you will have to undo a lot of things. Because that hard-heartedness, after some time, after some years in practice, you will see that for you to access the deeper stages of devotional service, see, to cross the stage of anartha nivritti, hard-heartedness will help you. But to once you cross nishta, or once you come to a platform of steadiness, to access ruchi, asakti, and hopefully one day bhava and prema, the soft-heartedness will help you. Because bhakti, as his grace Pankajangir Prabhu once said, bhakti is all about emotions. But if your heart becomes too hard-hearted, you will not be able to access this. So you will start feeling the process of bhakti, which is full of rasa, to be like a very dry process, because you only trained yourself in dryness in all these years. So better to strike the right balance right from the beginning. Better cultivate that soft-hearted behavior right from the beginning. And it begins first by being soft to the devotees all around you. Don't be too, sometimes we tend to be over-focused. that over-focused one-pointedness, vyavasayi atmika buddhi ekeha kurunandana, bahushaka yanantasya buddhi, I don't want to be avyavasayi bhakti, I want to be ekeha kurunandana, right? That can also make you sometimes little hard-hearted. So learn, better be, you know, but still if you cannot do that, better err on the side of being hard-hearted. Don't overindulge with matter also. Okay? Yes, Prabhuji. After many days, thank you for your association.
Could you make the examples of Bhakti Siddhanta Sai Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, that they, how respectful, was it respect or was it like for the sake of preaching mission, they were creating a favorable environment among the politicians? So how to see that?
I once asked this question to Chaitanya Charan Prabhu recently, maybe 3-4 months back when he was here. Because he was reading one letter, where I think it was Prabhupada was writing to some politician or someone in India, pre-ISKCON days, explaining the whole concept of Gita Nagari and saying we should do this, and later on, this is then post ISKCON also, or during ISKCON, he said, some cabinet minister in Indira Gandhi government became extremely favorable, some Rajya Sabha member. So Prabhupada gave a full strategy, if you support me, you know, we will do this, we will start preaching, and he gave a whole strategy saying that we will help you in elections and something like a give and take barter system. And if you see Prabhupada in many places, he would show this kind of an opportunistic behavior. Externally, it looks like an opportunistic. Sorry for using that word. But let me finish the sentence. Then you'll understand why I use that word. Because, you know, like Prabhupada saying, if anybody showed half an interest saying that, you know, I have a plan to start, say, a museum here. I have land. Can you also come? So then Prabhupada immediately, yeah, let's start a museum here and we'll have dioramas of different pastimes of the Lord also. You have your museum, I'll have my temple also. You know, it seems like Prabhupada is saying that, usko, you know, climbing on the shoulder, aisa bolte hai na, usko khich ke, usko indirectly he's trying to make use of his land and his opportunity. It's not being opportunistic. So I asked Prabhu, is this some kind of a transcendental opportunism? So Prabhu said, no, it's actually not like that. So many times Prabhupada would genuinely feel like that. So every time he would write these kind of letters talking about, I will promote Varnashram and, you know, we will do social service and you do your thing, I'll do my thing. So actually Prabhupada saw that bigger picture. So it is not that Prabhupada was just, being opportunistic and trying to grab to expand his own personal agenda of preaching. Like that. Of course, Prabhupada was never selfish, but it was not like some selfish preaching agenda. He was genuine. And the genuineness, with genuineness, when we also approach others, it touches people's heart. Many times, especially when we are doing fundraising or PR and all these activities, we become very selfish in our own agenda. And people can sense that, you know. You can also sense that when somebody is when that fellow, you know, in the train, some marketing guy is coming and trying to sell you a 30 rupees pencil for 100 rupees. You can sense that this guy wants to cheat me. And he will tell you, sir, aapke liye hi special discount de raha hun. You can sense it. Likewise, others can also sense when we speak in this kind of way. So we have to be genuine. Genuinely respect them. It was not some strategy that they did. Then the king said, I sent my personal physician to you and he had reported that you are not deceased. As far as he could see, you are completely healthy. See, look, how, again, we can learn from Nawab Hussain Shah also how good a politician he was. He did not come to any external judgments. Now, usually, this also we can learn how we should also speak. We can, you know, learn from the lessons from Nawab Hussain Shah. He was angry that why Sanatan is not reporting for work. He comes to Sanatan's home. What does he see? He's sitting happily in a class and listening. He could have said, hey, you look all right to me, you rascal. Why did you lie to me? No. He didn't go by his own judgment. sometimes a person could be sick, but at that spur of the moment, probably he just got up to maybe go to the bathroom or something before going back to the bed again. So if you see someone, see, sometimes it happens with us. We are always caught in that wrong moment and accused, right? So Nabhusenja didn't say, hey, you look all right to me. No, he said, I sent you my physician. My physician's analysis is that you are healthy. So he didn't go by judgmental behavior, right? He went by proper facts. And then, even though he actually seeing him, he didn't start accusing him. What did he say? He started opening his heart. He says, Amara ye kichu karai sab tomalaya, karaya chadi rahila tumi gharete vashiya. I am depending on you to carry out my responsibility, my activities. But you have given up your governmental duties to sit here at home. You have spoiled all my activities. What is your intention? Please tell me frankly. Then, Sanatana Goswami replied, you can no longer expect any service for me. Please arrange for someone else to tend to the management activities. Then, what does he do? Even though he became angry, look how sentimental he is. Tabe krudha haiya raja, kahe arabara. Tomara bada bhai kare dasyu vyavahara. Becoming angry with Sanatana Goswami, the Nawab said, you are bada bhai. Elder brother is acting just like a plunderer. Right? So by killing many living entities, your elder brother has destroyed all of Bengal. Now here you are destroying all my plans. See, I have plans to set up such a big kingdom. I want to be the next Alexander. But somebody has to manage the kingdom behind me. And you are doing such a good work. You know, you are bada bhai. Don't you even care for your own elder brother? So look how loving Nawab Hussain Shah was. So the love of the worldly people is as long as their agenda is being satisfied. Once their agenda gets threatened, then their real form comes out. Then how does Sanatan reply? Sanatana kahe tumi swatantra gaudeshwara. Ye ye dosha kare dehatara phala.
Sanatana Goswami said, you are the supreme rural ruler of Bengal and are completely independent. Whenever someone commits a fault, you punish him accordingly.
So don't think I am your younger brother and take a wrong decision. I am happy whatever decision you take. So in that sense, he disconnected that connection. So hearing this, the Nawab of Bengal stood up and returned to his home. He ordered the arrest of Sanatana Goswami so that he would not be able to leave. Prabhupada explains the whole psychology behind this whole dialogue, what we just discussed in this purport. Then, at this time, Nawab was going to attack the province of Odisha, and then he told Sanatana Goswami, come along with me. So then, Deho kahe yebe tumi devataya dukha dite, mora shakti nahi tomara sangayaite.
Sanatana Goswami replied, you are going to Orissa to give pain to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For this reason, I am powerless to go with you.
Because Orissa is the land of Jagannath. So why are you attacking Lord? Because Prataputra Maharaj was there, another devotee. So why are you going to attack them like that? The Nawab then arrested Sanatana Goswami and kept him in a prison. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed for Vrindavan from Jagannath Puri. तबे से दुई चर रूपताय लय आइला वृंदावन चलिला प्रभु आशिया कहिला.
The two persons who went to Jagannath Puri to inquire about the Lord's departure returned and informed Rupa Goswami that the Lord had already departed for Vrindavan.
Upon receiving this message from his two messengers, Rupa Goswami immediately wrote a letter to Sanatana Goswami, saying that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had departed for Vrindavan. In this letter to Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami wrote, we two brothers are starting out to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You must somehow or the other get released and come meet us. So even though they were staying in the same house, you may be wondering, why they are writing letter to each other, though they are living in the same house? No. Sanatana was already put in prison, so he sent a letter into the prison. Rupa Goswami further informed that I have left a deposit of 10,000 gold coins with a grocer. Use that money to get out of the prison. Some or the other, get yourself released and come to Vrindavan. After writing this, the two brothers, Rupa and Anupam, went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa Goswami's younger brother was a great devotee whose actual name was Sri Vallabha, but he was given the name Anupama Mallika. Sri Rupa Goswami and Anupama Mallika went to Prayag, and there they were pleased to hear the news that Sri Rupa Goswami was there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there. At Prayag, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see the temple of Bindu Madhav, and many hundreds and thousands of people followed him just to meet him. So this part of the story we already discussed so far in the previous chapters. Mahaprabhu's, how he went to... So, but we didn't read what happened in Allahabad. So this is what has happened in Allahabad. Keha kande keha hase keha nache gaye. Krishna Krishna bali keha gada gari gayae.
Some of the people following the Lord were crying. Some were laughing, some dancing and some chanting. Indeed, some of them were rolling on the ground, exclaiming, Krishna, Krishna.
Prayag is located at the confluence of the two rivers, Ganga and Yamuna. Although these rivers were not able to flood Prayag with water, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inundated the whole area with waves of ecstatic love for Krishna. Seeing the great crowd, the two brothers remained standing in a secluded place. They could see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was ecstatic to see Lord Bindu Madhav. Prema Vaishena Che Prabhu Hari Dhvani Kari. Urdhva Bahu Kare Bale Bale Hari Hari.
Lord was loudly chanting the holy name of Hari. Dancing in ecstatic love and raising his arms, he asked everyone to chant Hari Hari.
Everyone was astounded to see the greatness of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Indeed, I cannot properly describe the pastimes of the Lord at Prayag. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made an acquaintance with a Brahmana from Deccan in South India, and that Brahmana invited him for meals and took him to his place. Who was he? South Indian Brahman was in South India, na? Which South Indian Brahman are you referring to? Has it come so far? Maharashtrian Brahman was in Varanasi. Kshanodiya Brahman was in Mathura. Then there is this third Brahman who is. Have we read about him so far? We have not? Sure? Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Tapan Mishra, they met later on. This is a different person. So this is a new Brahman then. We haven't encountered him so far. Okay. That is, he stayed back in South India. He didn't come there.
Prabhuji, like, this is Mahaprabhu going to Vrindavan.
This is on the way to Vrindavan, yes.
So how people, so many hundreds and thousands of people are following him? Like he went by a different path and...
Yeah, no, this is not for... These are the people whom he was preaching along the way and who were... If you remember, not the Ram Keli mein jo ruk gaye, not that episode.
That's the third one. This is the fourth.
This is where Mahaprabhu was preaching in... Allahabad and in along the places along the way, Jharikhanda and all these places. So naturally, wherever Mahaprabhu would go, followers would come like that. Even Mahaprabhu left Vrindavan also. Why? Because there were too many followers coming and matha khaye. They were matha khaye of Vallabhadra Bhattacharya. So Mahaprabhu had to leave like that. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting in a solitary place in the home of the Deccan Brahmin, Rupa Goswami and Vallabha Anupam Mallik came to meet him. Dui guchatrina drune dunhe dasane dhariya Prabhu dekhi dure pade dandavat haiya.
Seeing the Lord from a distance, the two brothers put two clumps of straw between their teeth and immediately fell down on the ground like rods, offering him obeisances.
Nana shloka padi uthe pade barabar. Prabhu dekhi prema vashe haila duhar.
Both brothers were overwhelmed with ecstatic emotion, and reciting various Sanskrit verses, they stood up and fell down again and again.
Shri Rupa Dekhiya Prabhura Prasanna Hailamana. Utha Utha Rupaishe Balila Vachana.
Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to see Shri Rupa Goswami and he told him, stand up my dear Rupa, come here.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, it is not possible to describe Krishna's mercy, for he has delivered you both from the well of material enjoyment. Then this quote from Hari Bhakti Vilas. So then what, okay, we'll read the shloka. Name bhaktascha turvedi madbhakta swapachapriyah tasme deyam tato grahyam sacha pujo yathahiyam.
Lord Krishna said, even though a person is very learned scholar of the Sanskrit Vedic literatures, he is not accepted as my devotee unless he is pure in devotional service. Even though a person is born in a family of dog eaters, he is very dear to me if he is a pure devotee who has no motive to enjoy fruitive activities or mental speculation. Indeed, all respect should be given to him and whatever he offers should be accepted. Such devotees are as worshipable as I am.
After reciting this verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced the two brothers and out of his causeless mercy, he placed his feet on their head. After receiving the Lord's causeless mercy, the two brothers folded their hands and in great humility offered the following prayers together. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya
Krishna Chaitanya Name Gautrishe Namah. O most munificent incarnation, you are Krishna himself appearing as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You assumed the golden color of Srimati Radharani and you are widely distributing pure love of Krishna. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you.
Yogyanamattam bhuvanam dayalur Ullaghyanapyakkarot pramattam jayan Swaprema sampat sudhayadbhut adbhuteham Sri Krishna Chaitanyam amum prapadye.
We offer our respectful obeisances unto that merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead who has converted all three worlds which were maddened by ignorance and saved them from their diseased condition by making them mad with the nectar from the treasure house of love of God. Let us take full shelter of that Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, whose activities are wonderful.
After this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat them down beside him and asked him, what is the news you have of Sanatan? Rupa Goswami said, Sanatan has now been arrested by the government of Hussein Shah. If you kindly save him, he will be liberated from the entanglement. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then replied, Sanatan has already been released from his confinement and he will be here very soon to meet me. See, this mood Mahaprabhu didn't show with everyone. Like being like a superior, you will see that especially with Rupa Goswami, not even with Sanatan Goswami. Even with Sanatan, he would many times deal with lot of respect. But especially with Rupa Goswami, he would deal with him like in a like an older senior devotee mood. So that is very, you know, intimate about Rupa Goswami. Yes? How old were Rupa and Sanatan? Yes, Hari Gopal Prabhu. How old were Rupa and Sanatan? They were not very old because they all died at the age of 60s. And they spent only about 20-30 years in Vrindavan. So which means they retired at the age of 30-35. So they were quite young in that sense. Yeah. Somewhere, I'll have to verify this, you can confirm. They were also, their wives' name were also mentioned somewhere. Because as part of their kingly responsibilities, they had to, yeah, I think they were also married to some Turkey Muslim women also. So something like that. So, remember, I think in a lecture or in one article somewhere I had read this thing. So they actually left everything behind and then they came. So they were not too young, not too old also. Yeah. I'll just verify this. It's there somewhere. I have to search in my laptop. Because these things were... History was always quite interesting. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu. Anupam? You are a gentle devotee. I can understand this. Because your voice is also very gentle. There is no mention of it, but definitely but there is nothing mentioned. Only thing that about Anupam is mentioned is that how he was such a great devotee of Lord Ram. That's the only thing that was mentioned, but nothing about his occupation, what he would do, nothing is mentioned. And of course he had Jiva Goswami. That's all was mentioned. Like that. So I said, how Rupa Goswami? No, whether he wrote it from home or from where, we don't know. He was planning his exit earlier itself. See, Sanatan Goswami felt he needed some more purification. That is why he went through this whole ritual of listening to, hiring those brahmanas and doing the Bhagavat Katha, Shravan, Bhagavat Vichar, and then leaving. That was his preparatory thing before he takes initiation from Mahaprabhu. But in the process, he got caught. But Rupa Goswami and Anupam, they immediately fled as soon as they decided to quit. Yeah. And there's no mention that he wrote the letter from home, because he was already at home, or maybe some different location, maybe on the way or something. So we don't know those details. But he was quite smart. He escaped. Then Balabhadra Bhattacharya invited the two brothers to take lunch also. The remnants of the food from the plate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was offered to them. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu selected his residence beside the confluence of Ganga and Yamuna, a place called Triveni, and the two brothers, Rupa Goswami and Sri Vallabha, selected their residence near the Lord. At that time, Sri Vallabha Bhatta was staying at Adaila Grama, and he had heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had arrived, so he went to his place to see him. So there's a nice, beautiful summary of, like a biography of Vallabhacharya given in this purport. You can read this. Then, so I just saw the names of the two sons of Vallabhacharya, Gopinath and Vitthaleshwara. So yesterday in our Brahmachari group, I sent an interesting, it's a scientific paper on the name Vitthal. Because by chanting of the names of Lord Vitthal, what effects it is having on altering the heartbeats of patients. So there's a whole study that was done. So that paper, that medical paper, was published with lot of graphs and all this. If any of you interested, you can contact me later. So that is a level of study going on now. How holy name can help you overcome heart patients. So it is literally working on the heart like that. Then Teho Dandavat Kaila Prabhu Kalila Alangana Dui Jane Krishna Katha Haile Kathashana.
Vallabha Bhattacharya offered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu his obeisances and Lord embraced him. After that, they discussed topics about Krishna for some time.
Right. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt great ecstatic love when they began discussing Krishna. But the Lord checked his feelings because he felt shy before Vallabha Bhatta. then, but although the Lord restrained himself externally, ecstatic love raged within. There was no checking that. Vallabhata was astonished to detect this. Then, thereafter, Vallabhata invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for lunch, and the Lord introduced the two brothers, Rupa and Vallabha, to him. From a distance, then, yeah, Dui bhai dura haite bhumite padiya. Bhate dandavat kaila atidina haiya.
From a distance, the brothers Rup Goswami and Sri Vallabh fell on the ground and offered obeisances to Vallabh Bhatta with great humility.
Bhatte mili bare aya duhe paila dure. Asprishya paramamui na chui na more.
When Vallabh Bhattacharya walked toward them, they ran away to a more distant place. Rup Goswami said, I am untouchable and most sinful. Please do not touch me.
Bhattera vismay haila prabhura harshamana. Bhattera kahila prabhu taravivarana.
Vallabh Bhattacharya was very much surprised at this. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, was very pleased, and he therefore spoke to him this description of Rupa Goswami.
So if usually when we introduce devotees, he is like, you know, the prime minister, finance minister of the Nawab Hussein Shah is this. So look how Mahaprabhu introduces Rupa Goswami. First introduction of Rupa Goswami by Mahaprabhu. Look what he's saying. Iho nasparshiya iho jati atihina. Vaidikaya gikatumi kulina pravina.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, don't touch him, for he belongs to a very low caste. You are a follower of Vedic principles and are a well-experienced performer of many sacrifices. You also belong to the aristocracy.
So, where was our Vallabhacharya born? Where in South India? Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka. Where is that? Sri Lanka is Telangana. So in Andhra Pradesh he was born. And so Andhra people are very smartha brahmanas. So they were so strict about all these things. So Vallabhacharya also carried some of those tendencies. So then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu respected this mood of respect that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had for Vallabhacharya is very unique. Because Mahaprabhu, in a sense, if you see his life, he was quite a revolutionary social rebel. He challenged all the popular social norms of that time. Whether be it like, you know, Mahaprabhu and his followers, all of them. Like from Advaita Acharya giving the Shraddha Patra to Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur initiating a prostitute into the Harinam Mantra and making her a sadhvi. Mahaprabhu accepting a whole movement based on Pathans and Shudras and uneducated South Indian Brahmanas. He accepted the whole rejected lot of the society who are never seen as the high class people. Mahaprabhu accepted all of them and he challenged a lot of the social customs that time. So in that sense, Mahaprabhu was ahead of his times. All these things. Only today, social equality is a concept only spoken of by the Western society only today, in the last 50 years. But Mahaprabhu spoke about it 500 years ago. So, if anybody ever protests to that there is a lot of social inequality in your movement, tell them how Hinduism is and how liberal Mahaprabhu's movement is. But still, Mahaprabhu did respect Vallabhacharya and didn't want to like offend his. So this is again a very beautiful mood that you will see. Even though among his own followers and even though he believed strongly that all these social customs are bogus, when dealing with an extremely cultured person like Vallabhacharya, who is also a devotee, he never challenged his own cultural faith. But when we meet, say some Madhva Brahmana or a Sri Vaishnava Brahmana who is following some of these rules that they follow strictly, we try to impose our socially, culturally liberal attitude on them. So we have to respect that. Like for example, simple thing like offering dandavats. If you go to Sri Vaishnava temple, you should never offer dandavats inside the Garbhagraha. Why? Because all around there, they have their acharya's photos sitting around, the vigrahas sitting around. If you go to Madhva Sampradaya temple, which angle to offer dandavats, they have to see. Because you have to first, they'll ask you. The pujari only will tell you, east is here. So based on that, you have to calculate, I should offer dandavats, putting my head towards north. You have to follow those things. But many times when we go by default, who is at our feet, we don't care. Lord, it should be to our left. That's it. Dhar, dandavat. Literally we do dandavat. We fall like a stick. Not even seeing hamara pair kiske taraf dikh raha hai. All these things, you have to be very cautious. You have to be culturally sensitive about these things. And this mood, Rupa Goswami also imbibed from Mahaprabhu. Therefore, when Jiva Goswami was heavy, so Jiva Goswami is like a typical modern ISKCON devotee. Right? So when Jiva Goswami was heavy against Vallabhacharya, what did he do? Rupa Goswami went and begged forgiveness. And he immediately banished Jiva Goswami from Vrindavan. Or not immediately in that incident, but he became very upset with him. So that is the standard we can see. Very, very subtle cultural nuances that we can learn from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that is highlighted in the purport. Yes, Prabhu. In this particular purport, Prabhupada writes that his father was a renunciate. Not this purport. Where is that? Where did I tell you that? Yeah, text number 61, if you see. In that purport, only I think Prabhupada writes. Do you see? According to account, his father's name was Lakshmana Bhatta Dikshita and he was born in Champakaranya. And Vallabhacharya, so there apparently he was a renunciate and then he had come back to get married. And that's when he had Vallabhacharya. Same story is also mentioned about Vallabhacharya himself. Vallabhacharya also was a renunciate, but then later on he married and then he had the two sons. And later on in their sampradaya, forever it is banished. You cannot be a renunciate in their sampradaya. So like that, it's the rule has been made. Okay. Then anyway, question. Yes, can you pass on the mic, please? There. And later on in that purport also is mentioned that again after having two children, again he became a sannyasi, Vallabhacharya. So that fact, we'll just verify it once, because the popular story about Vallabhacharya is slightly different. So let's see. Hearing the holy name constantly vibrated by the two brothers, Vallabhacharya could understand the hints of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vallabhatta said, since these two are constantly chanting the holy name of Krishna, how can they be untouchable? On the contrary, they are most exalted. Like that. Then Aho Bhatta Swapacha Gariyo, that verse is quoted. Then, hearing this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt very pleased. Vallabhacharya quoting Shastra of the position of a Vaishnava. The Lord praised him personally and feeling ecstatic mood of Godhead, he began to quote many verses from Shastra. And he quotes these verses. When he saw the Lord's ecstatic love, Vallabhatta was certainly very much astonished. He was also astonished by the Lord's knowledge of the essence of devotional service as well as his personal beauty and influence. Vallabhattacharya then put Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates aboard a boat and took them to his own place for lunch. Then as they were crossing Yamuna, Mahaprabhu saw the black glossy water immediately get bewildered with ecstasy. Because see, Mahaprabhu, like I said, etiquette, he would not show off his devotional ecstasies to Vallabhacharya. So he would always try to restrain himself and contain himself. But in this particular case, that's what we saw earlier also, right? But now in this particular case, what happened? He could not restrain himself because Yamuna was there right in front of him. because we discussed in the previous classes also that how Mahaprabhu was always Vrindavan conscious. Anything he would see, he would remember. When you see, even when he saw Chatak Parvat in Puri, he thought that was Govardhan. Right? It was nowhere like Govardhan. If all of you have seen Chatak Parvat, it's just a sand, pile of sand, literally. But just by looking at a pile of sand, he felt this is Govardhan. And when you would see any water body, any flowing water, he would think this is Yamuna. And especially, this is literally Yamuna there in Prayag, right? So he immediately jumped. Everyone was filled with fear and trembling to this. They all hastily grabbed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and pulled him out of the water. Once on the boatman's platform, the Lord began to dance. And due to Lord's weight, the boat started to tilt. It began filling up with water and was on the verge of sinking. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tried to restrain himself as far as possible before Vallabhacharya. But although he tried to keep calm, his ecstatic love could not be checked. Seeing the circumstances, Mahaprabhu finally became calm. So the boat was able to reach the shore of Adaila and land there. So this whole episode was such a traumatic episode for Vallabhacharya that next time when he had to take him back, he said, now I will not take him on boat. You know, last time I know what happened when Mahaprabhu sat on the boat on Yamuna. He will go into ecstasy, he will lose his control. So this time he took him on a different route. Like that. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at his home, Vallabhacharya, being greatly pleased, offered the Lord a nice sitting place and personally washed his feet. Then the whole family sprinkled the water on his head and then offered the Lord new underwear and outer garments. Vallabhacharya worshipped the Lord with great pomp, offering scents, incense, flowers, lamps, and with great respect he introduced Balabhadra Bhattacharya to cook. He induced Balabhadra Bhattacharya to cook. Then thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was offered lunch with great care and affection. The brothers Rupa Goswami and Sri Vallabha were also offered food. Vallabha Bhattacharya first offered the remnants of the Lord's food to Rupa Goswami and then to Krishna Dasa. Who's Krishna Dasa? Huh? Then, the Lord was then given spices to purify his mouth. Afterwards, he was made to rest and Vallabha Bhattacharya personally massaged his legs. When Vallabhacharya was massaging him, Lord asked him to go take prasad, and after taking prasad, he returned to the lotus feet of the Lord. Then, Heha Kale Aila Raghupati Upadhyaya Tiruhita Pandita Bada Vaishnava Mahashaya.
At that time, Raghupati Upadhyaya of the Tiruhita district arrived. He was a very learned scholar, a great devotee and a respectable gentleman.
So Tiruhita is a combination of four districts in Bihar. Saran, Champaran, Muzaffar and Darbhanga. So combining all of this is Tiruhita, and from there this particular exalted devotee had come. So this Raghupati Upadhyaya is a very famous Vaishnav, poet, scholar. He compiled many poetry which Rupa Goswami would quote in Padyavali. So that we will see now. आशिते हो कैला प्रभुर चरण वंदना कृष्णमति रहुबलि प्रभुर वचना.
Raghupati Upadhyay first offered his respects to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Lord gave him his blessing saying, always stay in Krishna consciousness.
सुनि आनंदित हैला उपाध्याय रमना प्रभु तारे कैला कह कृष्ण वर्णना.
Raghupati Upadhyaya was very pleased to hear the Lord's blessing. The Lord then asked him to describe Krishna.
So some very nice conversation is going to happen between Mahaprabhu and Raghupati Upadhyaya. So whenever Mahaprabhu had to bring out the essence of the essence of the essence of the scriptural teachings, he would ask questions like what we saw with Ramananda Rai or sometimes with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So now he is going to engage in a very beautiful Q&A session with Raghupati Upadhyaya. Nija Krita Krishna Leela Shloka Padaila Shuni Maha Prabhu Ramaha Prema Vashahaila.
When Raghupati Upadhyaya was requested to describe Krishna, he began to recite some verses he had personally composed about Krishna's pastime. Hearing those verses, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was overwhelmed with ecstatic love.
This is a very nice verse. Shrutim apare smritim itare Bharatam anye bhajantu bhavabhitaha Aham ihanandam vande Yasya linde param brahma
Raghupati Upadhyaya recited, those who are afraid of material existence worship the Vedic literature. Some worship Smriti, the corollaries of the Vedic literature, and others worship Mahabharata. As far as I am concerned, I worship Krishna's father Maharaj Nanda, in whose courtyard the Supreme Personality of the Godhead, the Absolute Truth, is playing.
So, Shrutim Apare, some people they worship Shrutis. Smritim Itare, other people they worship Smritis. And some people are reading Mahabharata. Bharata manye bhajantau, bhavabhitaha. Kaun? Bhavabhitaha. Those who are bhita, who are afraid of the bhava, the material existence, they are reading all these books. The Shruti, Smriti and Bharatam, Mahabharata. But aham ihanandam vande, yasya linde param brahma. But me, I am only interested in the worshipping of Maharaj Nanda, in whose courtyard the personality of Godhead, Absolute Truth, is playing. Then Mahaprabhu became so happy. Whenever Mahaprabhu is happy, what will he say? Aage kaho aar. Aage kaha Prabhu vakya upadhyaya kahila. Raghupati upadhyaya namaskara kaila.
When Raghupati Upadhyaya was requested by the Lord to recite more, he immediately offered his respects to the Lord and granted his request.
This is also a very nice verse. To whom can I speak? Who will believe me when I say that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is hunting the gopis in the bushes by the banks of River Yamuna? In this way, the Lord demonstrated his pastimes. So, those who are in the Aishwarya Bhava can never understand this. Who will believe me? That Krishna, the Absolute Truth, is performing these kind of amorous pastimes. Right? So, this is very difficult for normal people to comprehend. Therefore, it's like a rhetoric question. Look, that Absolute Truth is doing these kind of esoteric pastimes. Prabhu kahe na kaha tehopada lila Krishna lila. Prema veshe prabhura deha mana aluila.
Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Raghupati Upadhyaya to continue speaking about the pastimes of Shri Krishna. Thus the Lord was absorbed in the ecstatic love and his mind and body slackened.
Prema dekhi mat. Now this is where the Q&A is going to start. Prema dekhi Upadhyaya haila chamatkara. Manushya nahe iho Krishna karila nirdhara.
When Raghupati Upadhyaya saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic symptoms, he decided that the Lord was not a human being but Krishna himself.
Prabhu kahe Upadhyaya shreshta manakaya. Shyamam eva param rupam kahe Upadhyaya.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Raghupati Upadhyaya, according to your decision, who is the foremost being? Raghupati Upadhyaya replied, Lord Shyamasundara is the Supreme Form.
Remember the answers that he is giving, okay? What is the first answer? Shyamarupera vasasthana sheshtamanakaya. Puri madhupuri vara kahe Upadhyaya.
Of all the Krishna's abode, which do you think is the best? Raghupati Upadhyaya said, Madhupuri or Mathura Dham is certainly the best.
So Prabhupada quoting from the NOI, he is going to describe the glories of Mathura Puri. Balya Pauganda Kaishora Sheshtamanakaya. Vaya Kaishorakam Dehyam Kahe Upadhyaya.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, of the three ages of the Krishna known as childhood, boyhood and fresh youth, which do you consider best? Raghupati Upadhyaya replied, fresh youth is the best age.
Rasagana madhye tumi shreshtamana kaya. Adhya evo paro rasah kahe upadhyaya.
When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, among all the mellows, which do you consider best? Raghupati Upadhyaya replied, the mellow of the conjugal love is the supermost.
Adi rasa, that is supermost. Prabhu kahe bhala tattva sikhail amore. Etabali shloka pade gadgada sware.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, you have certainly given first class conclusions. After saying this, he began to recite the full verse in a flattering voice.
Shyamam eva param rupam puri madhu puri vara vaya kaishorakam dhyeyam adyevo aparo rasaha.
The form of the Shyamasundar is the supreme form. The city of the Mathura is the supreme abode. The Lord Krishna's fresh should always be meditated upon. And the mellows of the conjugal love is the supreme mellow.
So he just combined all the answers and made his own verse. Yes, Prabhu. Madhupuri includes Vrindavan. So, because the Param Rupam is, Krishna has different forms. Like he has, say, Balaji form in Tirupati, he has Ranganath form in Ranganath, Srirangam, he has Ayodhya, Rama Rupa in Ayodhya, in all these places. But he has a special form as Krishna in Mathura Dham, Mathura Mandal. So that's specific, not even Dwaraka Mandal. Even as in Mathura, it includes, like if you see the prayers of course that is slightly esoteric, but our Madhavendra Puri also, he would glorify the Lord as, hey Mathura Natha. So, he is worshipping Mathura Natha also, but there he is also referring to Krishna as the Vrindavan Krishna only. So, Krishna has three forms. He has a form in Vrindavan, he has a form in Mathura, and he has a form in Dwaraka. And definitely Vrindavan Krishna is the most sweetest form that we are trying to aspire for. But here in this context, that Mathura Mandal includes that Vrindavan form only. Therefore, that is clarified by the next line, where it says, what is his age? And so, that Kaishora and Adirasa, he exhibited in Vrindavan Dham only. So, therefore, it's like, so Mathura includes Vrindavan. It's referred to that one. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Raghupati Upadhyaya in ecstatic love. Raghupati Upadhyaya was also overwhelmed with love and he began to dance. So in case you are wondering why there is no break, yes, there is no break today. We'll end the class early. Why do you need a break? There's nothing to eat today. Huh? What? Rajbhog. Oh, we can go get Rajbhog offering. Let the Lord eat, then so Rajbhog offering will come out at 12. So until then we'll have the class, okay? So the small section of Vallabhacharya, then actual Roop Siksha will start. So before that I'll give you a break. Vallabha Bhattacharya was struck with wonder to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Raghupati Upadhyaya dance. He even brought forward his two sons and made them fall down at his feet. Now interesting, the two sons of Vallabhacharya were Gopinath and Vitaleshwar. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited Prayag in the year 1434, Vitaleshwar was not born yet. In this regard, one should see Madhya Leela 1847. Some historical corrections. Upon seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrive, the villagers went to see him. Simply by seeing him, they all became devotees. All the Brahmanas from the village were eager to extend their invitation, but Vallabhacharya forbade them to do so. Then Vallabhbhatta then decided not to keep Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Adaila because the Lord had jumped into river Yamuna in ecstatic love. Therefore, he decided to bring him to Prayag. Huh? Adaila is, from the description understood, is on the other bank of Yamuna from Prayag. From Prayag, they crossed the river and went to Adaila. So that's all we can understand logically. We can Google for Adaila, maybe if that place is still there. It has to be in UP. Prayag is in UP. So Google for Adaila UP. Vallabha Bhatta said, if anyone likes, he can go to Prayag and extend invitations to the Lord. In this way, he took the Lord with him and departed to Prayag. He avoided the river Yamuna, putting the Lord on the boat in the river Ganges. He went there with him to Prayag. Due to the great crowds in Prayag, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to this place called as Dashashwamedha Ghata. It was there that the Lord instructed Rupa Goswami and empowered him in the philosophy of devotional service. So it's a very nice purport where Prabhupada quotes, Parashya Shakti Vyudhe Shruyate. So Krishna has different Shaktis. One special Shakti that Krishna has is preaching Shakti also. So without Krishna Shakti vina nahi tara pravartan. So this Krishna Shakti, this preaching Shakti of Krishna, without that being dawned upon someone, one cannot create a transformation in people's heart. One cannot create transformation in society. So that Krishna Shakti is needed. So Prabhupada emphasizes that in this purport. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then taught Rupa Goswami the ultimate limit of the truth about Krishna. Okay, we'll read this verse. Krishna tattva bhakti tattva rasa tattva pranta. Sab shikhaila prabhu bhagavat siddhanta.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Srila Rupa Goswami the ultimate limit of the truth about Lord Krishna, the truth about devotional service and the truth about transcendental mellows, culminating in the conjugal love between Radha and Krishna. Finally, he told Rupa Goswami about the ultimate conclusions of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Ramananda Pasheyata Siddhanta Shunila. Rupi Kripa Rupe Kripa Karitaha Sab Sancharila.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Rupa Goswami all the conclusions he had heard from Ramananda Rai and duly empowered him so that he could understand them.
Sri Rupa Hridaya Prabhu Shakti Sancharila. Sarva Tattva Nirupane Pravina Karila.
By entering the heart of Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered him to ascertain properly the conclusions of all truth. He made him an experienced devotee whose decision correctly agreed with the verdicts of the disciplic successions. Thus, Sri Rupa Goswami was personally empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
So this whole pastime is very graphically described in the all Rupa and Sanatana, both their meeting with Mahaprabhu. It is described by Kavi Karna Poona in Chaitanya Chandrodaya Natika. So we will, that in last chapter also, we saw this whole episode. And there are some quotes from that particular verse, from that book, in the next 2-3 verses. Then, some very nice verse comes from this thing. We will recite this verse. Please repeat, 121. Priya Swarupe Daita Swarupe. Prema Swarupe Sahajabhirupe. Nijanu Rupe Prabhure Karupe. Tatana Rupe Swavilasa Rupe.
Indeed, Srila Rupa Goswami, whose dear friend was Swarupa Damodar, was the exact replica of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was very, very dear to the Lord. Being the embodiment of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love, Rupa Goswami was naturally very beautiful. He very carefully followed the principles enunciated by the Lord, and he was competent person to explain properly the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expanded his mercy to Sri Rupa Goswami just so he could render service by writing transcendental literatures.
Now you know why he is called Kavi Karnapurna. Only a Kavi can write a beautiful poetry like this. Right? It's a nice poetry, right? The word Rupa, if you see, means different things in different contexts. Swarupa, as in Swarup Damodar. Here, then second Rupa is actually the form. Daita Swarupa. Prema Swarupa, again form. Sahaja Abhirupa. Abhirupa is very beautiful form. Then Nija Anurupa, following the in the footsteps Anurupa. Then Prabhu Eka Rupa, to that one single this thing. Then Swavilasa Rupa, to write. Rupan as in Varnan Karna Bhi Rupa Hota Hai. So then that is also called describing the past. So different meanings he uses of the word Rupa, and he writes that. So then, Roop and Sanatan, Roop and Sanatan break. Kavi Karnapurna is the son of Shivananda Sen. He was born, like he wrote that book before Chaitanya Charitamrita was written. So Chaitanya Charitamrita quotes those verses. Sri Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were the object of love and honor for the great stalwart devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If someone returned to his country after seeing Vrindavan, the associates of the Lord would ask him questions. They would ask those returning from Vrindavan, how are Rupa and Sanatana doing in Vrindavan? What are their activities in the renounced order? How do they manage to eat? These were the questions asked. Then they'd also ask, how is that Rupa and Sanatan are engaging devotional service 24 hours daily? At that time, the person who had returned from Vrindavan would praise Rupa and Sanatan. What was their glories? The brothers actually had no fixed residence. They resided beneath trees. One night under one tree and another night under another tree. Rupa and Sanatan begged little food from the house of the Brahmanas, giving up all kinds of material enjoyment. They only take some dry bread and fresh and fried chickpeas. Right? Shukta roti or chana. Now you all may be thinking, wow, this is a good menu. Fried chickpeas? No, it's actually very austere. Then they only carried water and they wear torn quilts. They always chant the holy names of Krishna and discuss his pastimes. In great jubilation, they also dance. This is the same Rupa Goswami who has 25% of his wealth with him. But he never, what should I say, went to Lohi Bazaar and bought some new clothes for himself. Then, Ashtaprahara Krishna Bhajana Chari Danda Shayane Nama Sankirtane Sahe Nahe Konadane Seha Nahe Konidine.
They engage almost 24 hours daily in rendering service to the Lord. They usually sleep only an hour and a half, and some days when they continuously chanted the Lord's holy name, they do not sleep at all.
Anybody likes to be a Rupanuga? Hari bol. Jai. Then, sometimes they write transcendental literature about devotional service, and sometimes they hear about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and spend their time thinking about the Lord. Like that. So then, we are on text number 132. Ekatha shuni mahantera mahasukhaya mahasukhaya chaitanyera kripayare tahe ki vishmaya.
When the personal associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would hear the activities of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they would say, what is a wonderful for a person who has been granted the Lord's mercy.
So Rupa and Goswami, they had no one fixed residence, but the only thing that they did fixed in a very consistent way was in the form of writing books. So Prabhupada takes it as a main theme, because in Vrindavan there are many Prakrita Sahajiyas who say that, what is all this book reading you are doing? You want to become Gyanis? Were the Gopis ever reading books? Were any of the Vrajvasis ever reading books? You are Brajvasi, you should not read all these books. Understood? So that is how they would speak. But Prabhupada writes in this purport that pure devotees under the guidance of Sri Rupa Goswami reject this Sahajiya philosophy. It is certainly not good to write literature for money or reputation, but to write books and publish them for the enlightenment of the general populace is real service to the Lord. That was Bhaktisiddhanta's opinion, and he specifically told his disciples to write books. He actually preferred to publish books rather than establish temples. Temple construction is meant for the general populace and neophyte devotees, but the business of advanced and empowered devotees is to write books, publish them and distribute them widely. According to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, distributing literature is like playing on a great mridanga, Brihad Mridanga. Consequently, We always request members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to publish as many books as possible to finish the Subodhini very soon and then start something else now. Right? Write more and more books, more and more publications have to come out. Where is Rakshan? Where is Rakshan Krishna Prabhu? Huh? Sorry? He's writing books. Are amazing. See? Even before reading what is there in the book, he is executing what is there. Definitely he got Mahaprabhu's kripa or something else is terribly happening with him. So, publish as many books as possible and distribute them widely throughout the world. By thus following the footsteps of Rupa Goswami, one can become a Rupanuga devotee. So, these two things are most important in protection of dharma. What are the two things important? Distribution of Shastra and establishing of deity worship, temples. These two things are what that protects dharma. If you see the strategy of preaching, imagine India today without temples and without scriptures. Imagine India today without a single temple or ancient temple, no Ayodhya, no Dwaraka, no Badrinath, no Kedarnath, no Jagannath Puri, and no books, no Mahabharata and Ramayana in the society. So, the reason, we would have become economically more developed, we would have beaten all the countries of the world. Right? The reason why dharmikta is still there in India is because of these two things. That is how the acharyas in the past have preached. Establish temples, they create laukik shraddha. Distribute books, they create shastriya shraddha. This is the strategy for preaching. Right? You give one lecture, forget it. It has only short-term impact. You write one book and publish it, it will have eternal impact. That is the potency of writing and publishing books. So, Prabhupada here is appealing to every member of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We should all publish books and write as many books and distribute as many. If you cannot write books, at least distribute books. That we can do in our capacity. Right? But this books are the way to, books are the basis. That is the way to actually protect dharma and spread dharma like that. And that's exactly what Rupa, see, even in that episode of Sanatan Goswami and Madan Mohan was personally asking between temples and books, which is more important? Books. Because when Madan Mohan was asking for salt, Sanatan said, you please make your own arrangement because I am busy writing books for my Mahaprabhu. I am fulfilling the instruction of Mahaprabhu by writing books. For me, that is more important than saving, worshipping you or serving you. So, of course, that instruction is definitely for an advanced devotee, not for neophytes. Prabhupada writes that also in the purport later on, one of the verses. Okay. So, the idea is these books are so important. The six Goswamis, Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipunau Sadharma Samsthapakau. They establish Sadharma by studying all the scriptures, by presenting all the scriptures. So that is the way to sustain Dharma, to expand preaching. We have to have our basis in our books like that. Then Rupa Goswami has personally spoken about the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his auspicious introduction in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The verse is quoted here. For 10 days, Mahaprabhu stayed at Prayag and instructed Rupa Goswami, empowering him with the necessary potency. Again, the very beautiful purport here also, about the power of empowerment. This is a confirmation of the statement, Krishna Chakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartan. Unless one is specifically empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he cannot spread the Krishna consciousness movement. So, like we discussed earlier also, techniques do not expand a spiritual organization. What expands a spiritual organization is the tapasya and the empowerment that comes from the Lord. Tapasya is the way we attract the empowerment. So tapasya and empowerment is what that sustains and expands spiritual organizations. If you look at any history of any spiritual organization, the reason why they collapsed was people stopped doing tapasya, and due to which there was lack of empowered people. Moment there is lack of tapasya in practice or slackening of tapasya in one's practice, institutions have gone into dust. And if any institution is still surviving, it is because of tapasya. So for all you know, even these other faiths which are there, all these Christian institutions and Islamic which are there, please don't think they are all lallupanjus running the institution. Even their institution is surviving because somebody in that institution is doing tapasya. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he would send every day from Chaitanya Math, he would send Mahaprasad to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji and to Vamsidas Babaji, who was living like 24 hours away. Can you imagine, every day he had four people, two at a time in a batch. They would take prasad, like Rajbhog Aarti is over, they would pack that Rajbhog Prasad, walk one day and deliver prasad and come back. And somebody in Matha asked, you are spending four people's manpower just to deliver prasad to someone. They could have gone for preaching, they could have gone for fundraising, you could have expanded the mission. Bhaktisiddhanta laughed and said, the only reason why we are able to preach is because Babaji, Vamsidas Babaji and Gaurkishore Babaji are doing tapasya somewhere. Their tapobal is empowering our movement. That is the faith that Bhaktisiddhanta had in the among those people who are sitting and doing tapasya in one place. So don't undermine just because somebody is not doing some externally glamorous activity. Don't undermine. Tapasya has its own benefit in this life or in the next life. Like that. So, to be empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to qualify himself. This means, so what is the tapasya we have to do? This means that one must engage 24 hours daily in the loving devotional service of the Lord. The material position of a devotee does not matter, because devotional service is not dependent on material considerations. In his earlier life, Rupa Goswami was a government officer and a grihastha. He was not even a brahmachari or sannyasi. He associated with malechas and yavanas. But because he was always eager to serve, he was qualified recipient of the Lord's mercy. A sincere devotee can therefore be empowered by the Lord regardless of his situation. In the preceding verse from the Bhaktisamrita Sindhu, Sri Rupa Goswami has described how he was personally empowered by the Lord, like that. Then, Prabhu kahe shunarupa bhakti rasera lakshana, sutarupa kahi vistara nayaya varnana.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my dear Rupa, please listen to me. It is not possible to describe devotional service completely. Therefore, I am just trying to give you a synopsis of the symptoms of devotional service.
So now begins the actual Rupa Shiksha. So he goes into explaining the sudurlabha, the rarity of devotional service is first explained. And now that you got a rare opportunity, how do you get access to that rare opportunity? And two, how do you protect that rare opportunity? All these three things are very important. Parampara shunya gabhira, sorry, parapara shunya gabhira bhakti rasa sindhu. Tomaya chakai tetara kahe eka bindu.
The ocean of the transcendental mellows of the devotional service is so big that no one can estimate its length and breadth. However, just to help you taste it, I am describing but one drop.
Eta brahmananda bhari ananta jiva gana. Chaurasi laksha yonite kareya brahmana.
In this universe there are limitless living entities in 84 lakh species, and all are wandering within this universe.
So this is a challenge to so-called scientists and philosophers. Where are these 84 lakh species? Right? On this earth, we never found 84 lakh species. So Prabhupada in the Purport, he highlights saying that how life can exist even in fire, in outer space also. So all the concepts Prabhupada is highlighting, challenging the, and how the nature of the soul is sarvagataha, present everywhere. Bhagavad Gita explains this in the characteristics of soul. So in that context, soul can be, that Prabhupada highlights that. Then, Keshagra Shakti Shubhaga Punha Satam Shakari Tarasama Sukshma Jivera Swarupa Vichari.
The length and the breadth of the living entity is described as 1/10,000th part of the tip of a hair.
Mm.
This is the original, subtle, natural nature of the living entity.
So this is, the verse is quoted there in that particular thing. So the same, that 1/10,000, the tip of the hair, that same chitkana or the spiritual part is there in the body of amoeba, the smallest single cellular organism, to even to the body of Brahma. Same soul is running both. Right? Now the question comes. Amoeba, if you just cut it, it becomes two. So is the soul cut? What happens? Huh? Another soul enters there. Simple. Right? So don't worry about that. But the principle is that same spiritual spark, Prabhupada writes, is running within an ant and body of Brahma. Like that. Then there's another quote, which is coming from the Panchadashi Chitra. Panchadashi is the Mayavadi's book. So they are quoting this. Then Lord Krishna says, among minute particles, I am the living entity. From the 11th canto, this is quoted. Then, text 144. Taramadhye sthavara jangamadu ibedha. Jangame tiryak jala sthalachara vibedha.
The unlimited living entities can be divided into two divisions, those that can move and those that cannot move. Among the living entities that can move, there are birds, aquatics and animals.
So a whole hierarchy of jivas will be highlighted now. Why this hierarchy of jivas is important? One, you understand the rarity of devotional service, and two, you also understand the culture of the hierarchy of respect. Because to access devotional service, we should learn the hierarchy of respect. This theme you will see consistently in Bhagavatam and many places. Like even Kapila Muni, when he explains about devotional service, he explains the whole hierarchy of jivas. Why? The culture of respect is taught first, like that. So this verse also talks about how living entities are everywhere. Taramadhye manushya jati ati alpatara. Taramadhye malecha pulinda bahudasabara.
Although the living entities known as the human beings are very small in quantity, that division may be still further subdivided. For there are many uncultured human beings like malechas, pulindas, bodhas, and shabaras.
Among all the living entities, human is one form. Even among humans, there are then other lower class of humans, malechas, pulindas, baudhas and shabaras. So baudhas are followers of Buddhist philosophy straight away. Right? So be careful when you are talking this to outsiders. Then again, Vedanishta madhye ardheka veda mukhe mane. Vedanishida papakare dharmahi hani gane.
Among the human beings, those who are the followers of Vedic principles are considered civilized. Among these, almost half simply give lip service while committing all kinds of sinful activities against these principles. Such people do not care for the regulative principles.
So the highest dharma is Save Pumsham Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Radhokshaji. Ahetuki Bhakti is the highest principle. But even the other dharmic life also, many people just do it for the sake of doing. So that category also you are filtering out and come to the platform of Vishuddha Bhakti. So the Dharmachari Bhaktis. So Dharmachari Madhya Bahuta Karmanishta Koti Karmanishta Madhya Eka Jnani Shreshta.
Among the followers of Vedic knowledge, most are following the process of fruitive activities and distinguishing between the good and the bad work. Out of many such sincere fruitive actors, there may be one who is actually wise.
So there is Dharmanishta, Karmanishta, Jnananishta, and finally Bhaktinishta. So Bhaktinishta, to come to that, you have to filter all these unnecessary things out. And today Dharmanishtas are becoming so popular because people don't have faith in scriptures. So Karmanishta, Jnananishta are rejected and Bhaktinishta are seen as sentimentless. So only thing that is left is Dharmanishta is the most popular thing. So like that. Dharmanishta means moralists. Moralism. The most popular ism today. So the Purport Prabhupada writes about how the Karmanishtas are also selfish, that is for clear. Jnananishtas are also selfish because they are thinking of their own individual liberation. But a Bhaktinishta, next will be defined, their goal is to serve the Lord. There is an element of selflessness in them. That is how they are able to... Now, if you look carefully, all these three categories, Karmanishta, Jnananishta and Bhaktinishta. What does Nishta mean, by the way? Adhikar, yani qualification, right? Fixed in that, like a status of life, a steady face, steady faith, okay, then Nishta also means determination. So what does determination do? What does determination precede? Determination precedes taste. What are you determined about? Tell me. You are determined to study Bhagavatam. So once you got a determination, what will you do after that? An action is always followed by determination. Determination always precedes an action. Now, though we are reading about Karmanishta, Jnananishta and Bhaktinishtas or Dharmanishtas, you analyze in your own life, what is the impetus for your action? And then you will know what kind of a nishta you are. Are you a Karmanishta, are you a Jnananishta, or are you genuinely Bhaktinishta? Okay, so this is the dividing line between all these three categories of people. Okay, impetus or the determination gives you that impetus. Yeah, like that. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai, and the Koti Vaishnava in the ki, Jai.